if you have the music in you, you can, you should, and you must sing. Or it might be dance, or it might be play sport, it might be art, it might be a product or a service that you want to bring to the world. It's called, what are you the most passionate about? And can that be your business? Can that be the thing that you earn money from? And you often hear that, no, you can't do what you're passionate about. You have to get a lousy, stinking, rotten job and work 5 days, and then you can spend 2 days every week doing what you love to do. Well, we often hear a lot about work-life balance, and I'm not very good at maths, but I don't think that 5 and 2 is very good balance. I've had the music in me since I was 13 years of age. A great quote we always use here at Max is about the 2 epic moments in your life. And obviously the day you were born is an epic moment because it's the day you were put on the planet. But the next question is, why are you here? Why were you put on the planet? And for me, it was always about, I want to be an exercise professional. I want people to feel as awesome as I do when they exercise. But what is your thing? What is the reason that you are on the planet? What is your passion? What is your driving force? What lights you up? What would you like to do every single day so that when you open your eyes in the morning and you know that moment when your eyes flutter open and you go, oh, what day is it? Where am I? Every day you'll be going, oh my God, I can't wait to get up because I'm going to do what I love to do. I've got my music in me and I'm singing or I'm dancing or I'm doing my thing. So how do we, and I'll say fight against, and it's sad that we would have to do that, but how do we fight against the people that say you can't have a successful business or you can't be good at sport or you can't get involved in sport as your career path? We often hear that when it comes to our teenagers. Oh no, you can't go and play sport. And even if you do, you need to have a backup plan because what if you fail? Well, my question is, what if you don't fail? And if you give yourself an option to fail or a backup plan, is it more likely that you'll use that backup plan because it's easier? And I share that because when you study the excellence in every area and I'll call it passion, but every area of business, so whether it's sports people, movie stars, rock stars, business people, musicians and artists, anybody that's doing what they're absolutely passionate about and they're really good at it and they're successful at it and they're doing it every day and loving it, they will tell you they never had a backup plan. They had to be successful because they didn't want to do anything else. There was no option to go and get a lousy, stinking, rotten job because they wanted to be a sports person. They wanted to be an artist. They wanted to be, they wanted to share their passion with the world. So is there a foolproof plan to being successful in business? And of course, I think the answer is yes. And the reason I can say that, is it possible that if you study the best in the world and have a look at what they're doing, there'll be a pattern? Is it possible if you have a look at the people that have a lousy, stinking, rotten job, that hate their life, that go to work every day wishing they could be somewhere else, there's a pattern? And if I avoid that pattern and I focus on this pattern, is it possible that perhaps I too could do what I'm passionate about every day? And when I share this, it's coming literally from my heart to yours because I get it and I wish the whole world could get it. I wish I had a pretty pink box and I could put it in everybody's life and say, here is how simple it is to be successful at what you're passionate about. So everybody that I've spoken to, everybody that I've read about, every documentary I've watched, every book I've read, every study of excellence I've ever done, and I'll just quickly run over for me what I think excellence is. Excellence is somebody that loves what they do, they're healthy, fit and strong, they're financially free, they have great relationships and they love their life. And I want to know what those people are doing differently than the people that are miserable and grumpy and depressed and hate their job and hate their boss and hate their life. And unfortunately it seems there's a lot of these people. Not too many of these people. So let's have a look at what these people are doing. And interestingly, there is a pattern. And they all say exactly the same thing in different words, of course, and I'm only paraphrasing, but it goes a little bit like this. Every person I've ever met or studied that has a life that they love will tell you that they're doing what they are the most passionate about. It's the thing that drives them, that lights them up, that they're excited about. Some people share with me they have lots of different passions. And the answer to that, of course, is can you ride 2 horses with 1 ass? A little bit complicated. It seems that the people that are the most successful in those 4 areas are the ones who they know exactly what they want to do. And some people might combine music with helping people, or sport with charity. So they have a driving force to be able to add value to the world, and they do that through their sport. Or they want to give thousands or millions of dollars to charity, so they do that through their business or through their art or through their music. But ultimately, the people that seem to be the most successful are the ones that do one thing. They focus on the thing that they are the most passionate about. The next part seems, again, really simple. If you're doing what you love, is it possible then that you want to be really good at it? I can't imagine anybody who is passionate about music or sport or business or their thing wanting to be second best or third best or 50th best. It seems to be part of that pattern that the people that are doing what they absolutely love to do, they want to keep getting better at it. So whether they make cars or watches, or they've got a business that has a service, or they are a sports person, or they're a musician, or they're an artist, they want to keep getting better. The best footballers in the world, the best tennis players in the world, the best car racers in the world, the best artists and musicians, they want to keep getting better. They want their skill to every single day, it's about how can I sing better? How can I play better? How can I make this product or service even better than it already is? I always use the example of prestige cars. And what I really love about people think, Rowie, in your bloody cars. I love prestige cars because every time they make a beautiful car, it doesn't matter which brand you have a look at, whether it's Aston Martin or Audi or Porsche or Ferrari or Lamborghini, it doesn't matter. Every time they make a beautiful car, they're already making the next one even better. So one, this beautiful car comes off out of the factory and we go, yes, this is the most beautiful Ferrari, but they're already thinking about, or they've already started, or they're already in the planning stages, or they've already half produced the next beautiful Ferrari, the next beautiful Porsche, the next beautiful Lamborghini. And I share that because I think that if we lived our lives like that, where we're always aiming to get better, so we wake up with a purpose. How can I learn more? How can I become more educated? How can I do better training? How can I do better ongoing training? And of course, if I'm doing what I love, then all of that becomes really easy. I want to learn, I want to train, I want to do ongoing education because I'm doing what I love. So number one is do what you're passionate about. Number two is be the best in the world at it for your customers and clients. So for example, if you're a rap artist in music, you only have to be the best in the world for people that like rap music. If you are an opera singer, you only need to be the best in the world for people who love opera. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the best in the whole world for everybody, but you have to be focusing on the people that love what you do. How can you be the best for them? And is it possible that if your target market, the people that love your music, love your sport, love your product or service in business, if they love what you do and they know that you're always getting better, is it possible that that would mean your business success, your career success? The third part, of course, is that you add massive value to people's lives. And I often share this with when I talk to teenagers who talk to me about becoming a tennis player or a soccer player or a rugby league player. Rowie, I'm really good at my sport, but I want it to be my career. What do I need to do differently so that it can be my career path, not just a sport that I play and I have to have a backup plan? And ultimately, if we're adding value to people's lives, then people want to be involved with us. So if you have a look at the best sports people in the world, and this is really important for me because I think that being a great person comes before being a great sports person. Being a great person is more important than being a great rock star. But when you have a look at the people that are really popular with their fans, it seems to be the ones that are really kind and respectful and loving and real and genuine. And I'm going to give you a really interesting story on that. I was talking to a promoter, a concert promoter and a sports promoter. I was just having a chat with him at a bar in Las Vegas. And I said, what is the difference between the people that are really good at sport and become superstars and the people that are really good at sport and just have an average career path? What about the singers? There are some people that are brilliant singers and don't do very well. And there's other people who are not so good singers. And I always have a joke because people tell me I can't be a rock star because I can't sing. But we know that there are plenty of rock stars that aren't the best singers. But why do they become stars? And this promoter put it to me beautifully, and he used the example. We're sitting in Caesar's Palace at the time. And he said, if you are an up-and-coming celebrity, so you're a sports star or a musician or you're a movie star, or people are starting to know you, and you pull up in a taxi or in a limousine at the Caesar's Palace, for example, and the bellboy helps you out of the car. You go to the reception desk to book in. There's people at the bar who'll serve you drinks. There's a person at the gym who'll check you in. There's the housekeeping people at the hotel. You don't know who they are because in your mind, you're the up-and-coming star. They're just people. He said, but each one of those people is a person with feelings and emotions and likes and dislikes, and they judge. And he said, what happens, and it's really interesting to watch, if you get out of the limousine or out of the taxi and you treat the bellboy poorly and you treat the receptionist poorly and you don't talk to the cleaning person, just ignore them, and you think you're really important, you might think you're important and those people are not important, but each one of those people, they know who you are. So they go home and they say to their family and their friends and now their social media connections, today I met blah, blah sports star or blah, blah musician or blah, blah a movie star and they were an asshole. And that was his quote, not mine. Meaning everybody who you think knows you or does know you, they'll be judging you by who you are. And they're excited to meet you because you're a movie star or a rock star or a sports star. He then gave me the reverse of that. He said, this is what I, in my observation, and by the way, it's interesting because the promoters tend to make a hell of a lot more money than even the stars do. And they take all the risks. I'll just use that as an example. But this gentleman said to me beautifully, he said, the reverse of that is the person that gets out of the limousine or out of the taxi and they look at the bell person's name badge and they use their name and they ask them about their family and they treat them like a real person. And then when they meet the housekeeper, they say hello and ask for their name and ask about their family and treat them like a real person. And if they go to the gym and there's a gym instructor or a personal trainer or a check-in person at the gym, they say hello to them and ask them about their family and be genuinely interested in each individual person. They sign autographs, they invest time in the people that, and they understand that it's their fans that get them to be popular, that the fans make them superstars. So the reverse of that, what happens is that person then goes home and they say to all their family and their friends and their social media connection, guess who I met today? I met rock star, movie star, business person, famous person, and they were awesome. They were beautiful people. They treated me kindly. They treated me respectfully. They were funny. They were genuine. They were real. And, excuse me, in a place like Las Vegas, where literally thousands, if not hundreds and thousands of people could see you at one time and or connect with you at one time and then they spread that out to their connection. He said it doesn't take very long for that word go viral where somebody was a kind of becoming popular and now they are superstars because they've treated people kindly and they've treated people beautifully. And I use that as an example in business. If you want to add massive value to people's lives, if you want to make people feel special, and then if your product or service adds value by making somebody's life easier, better, safer, more fun, more interesting, helps them become fitter, stronger, healthier, wealthier, is it possible that people want to buy your product or service? So I'm going to wrap that all up. Do what you're the most passionate about. Keep doing ongoing training, learning, and education. You'll want to anyway. But if you do that, is it possible you'll keep getting better and better at what you do? And then if you keep getting better and better at what you do, is it possible that not only will your product and service add massive value to people's lives, but if you as a person becomes a nicer, kinder, better, more genuine, more loving person and continues to grow as a person, is it possible that you'll attract even more people into your life? So I call that the sweet spot. So do what you're passionate about. Be the best in the world at it. Add massive value. And if you live in the middle of that spot, is it possible that that's the music in you? That's what lights you up. That's what excites you. And that is what, of course, will make you successful. So number one is the sweet spot. Number two, when it comes to business success, career success, sporting success, is what makes you unique and different to everybody else. What are you going to do that makes you stand out from the average crowd? And it seems we live in a world right now where people want to dress like everybody else, want to talk like everybody else, want to listen to the same things that everybody else is listening to. But it's the people who don't look at, well, they look at what everybody else is doing and they do something completely different. Is it possible that the average crowd gets excited? Average is boring, of course. It's somewhere between really bad and the best. So average is boring. So if somebody stands out from the crowd and they do something unique and different, is it possible that the average crowd goes, wow, that's awesome, and then they follow? So is it possible that for you to be successful in business, for you to have a successful career as a business person, as a sporting star, as a musician, as an artist, as a movie star, is that you need to have something that makes you stand out from the rest of the crowd? Sometimes we call it X factor, and I can't explain that to you. I'm sure you wouldn't be able to explain it to me either. That's why it's called X factor. What is that X factor? It's just something that somebody has. Is it possible that X factor is the thing that makes you unique, different, and memorable from the crowd? And if you have a look at the people that, and I'm not talking about success from money or success from being a star, I'm looking at those four areas of life. So you love what you do, you're healthy, fit, and strong, you're financially free, and you have great relationships. The people in your life are adding value to your life. That's what I call success, and that's why I study that. There's very few people that have all of those four things going. But I want to make sure that if I'm going to aspire to be like, if I'm going to set the example for, if I'm going to, and I have a business college, so I have people ask me, Rowie, how do I become successful in business? My first question is always, what is success to you? And if you had those four things, how would that be? How would you feel? And I'll ask you that question. If you are healthy, fit, and strong, so you've got the energy and vitality and even the physical well-being and the physical body that you want to have, you're doing something you absolutely love to do, so your career or your business, the thing that is making you money, is something that you're really passionate about. And because of that, you are now financially free. And because you have great self-esteem and self-confidence, you only have respectful people in your life. Is it possible that that's a really cool place to live? And if you are a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're a leader, and there are people looking at your life, is that the example that you'd like to set? So is business success easy? I will say absolutely yes. Do what you're passionate about. Keep getting better at it. Add massive value to people's lives and be unique and different and memorable. Make sure that whatever you're doing is different to what everybody else is doing. And from just a purely technical business perspective, what does unique mean? What is a unique selling point? And the answer to that, of course, is that what you're doing, nobody else is doing. That's the definition of unique. So there's two questions there. Do I have a look at what everybody else is doing and do it differently? Or do I do what's driving the inside of me? And here's a great question. Is there anybody else just like you? Is there anybody else that looks like you, has the same passion as you, does the same thing that you do? And if you think that the answer is yes, then maybe you're going to have a look at what other people are doing and aim to do it differently. But I will challenge you on this one. I don't think there is anybody else like you. There's nobody else that looks like you do. There's nobody else that thinks the same way that you do. There's nobody else that's got the same driving force that you have, because you're a unique individual. So what if you take all of those unique individual things that you have and then create a product or a service or include those into your passion? So if it's sport or music or art or business or a trade, it might be that you really love to see beautiful gardens, or you really love a beautiful home, or you love cars. There's a key there, love. What do you love? And is it possible that people want to do business with, people want to invest time with, people want to have people in their life who they know are really passionate? And I'll give you another question for that. Doesn't matter what product or service you're going to buy, whether it's a house or a car or an article of clothing or your groceries, doesn't matter. If you have two people to buy any of those from, and one person has a product, the other person has exactly the same product, this person's bored and indifferent, even disrespectful or rude to you, and this person is kind and genuinely interested in you and they're passionate about what they do, who do you want to buy from? Now, sometimes people say, well, I want to buy the cheapest product, so I don't care about the person that's selling it to me. And I'll challenge you on that in business as well. Do you want to be the person that sells the cheapest product to the people who are looking for the cheapest price? Or do you want to have the most beautiful product that you're really proud of and people are prepared to pay the price that it's worth? And that's why I love studying those companies where it's not about the money. It's about the quality of the product. It's about the pride in the product. There's a beautiful quote that I love, don't stop until you're proud. Why would you have an average business? Why would you be an average sports person? Why would you be average at singing? Why would you be average at your passion? And of course, when it's your passion, I don't think you ever want to be average. I think you always want to be striving to get better and better and better for yourself and for the people that are in your life. So can you be successful in business? Of course, the answer is yes. Can you be successful in your business? And if you look at that sweet spot, if you're doing what you're the most passionate about, will you do the training, the education, the learning, the ongoing learning? Will you get good at sales and marketing and business setup and all the things that you need to do? And I think that if you have a driving force, if you have a passion, if you've got something that lights you up, if you've got the music in you, then please sing. Please don't let somebody tell you that you can't do it. I call them the can'ts. I don't like can'ts. I like cans. I love the people that say you can do it and let's work out how. I love the people who say everybody told me that I couldn't do it, but I decided that I can and I did. And if you have you, and I'll give you this special from my heart to yours conversation, if we ever have a personal conversation face to face or on the phone. Any story that you ever give me about what can't be done, I will give you a person that has done it. And I share that very passionately because the people that I study are the ones that people said you need a backup plan because you're going to fail. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're too tall. You're too short. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You don't have enough education. You've got too much education. You don't have enough money. All the can't. Versus, I don't care what you say about can't, I'm going to do it anyway. And there's literally thousands and thousands, if not hundreds and thousands of millions of stories of people that have gone against the can'ts and gone and done the can, they've done it anyway. And I'm going to use my favorite story, and may it inspire you as much as it inspired me. I went to a beautiful live show. It was the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show. I love live music. I love live performances. And I happen to be a Michael Jackson fan. So I was really excited about Cirque du Soleil, which is, of course, the most amazing feats that the human body can do. And then, of course, to Michael Jackson music. So we arrive at the stadium and the lights go down and the crowd's really excited because the show's about to start. And a big stage light comes on and it shines on somebody that's wearing, is holding crutches. And you could almost hear the crowd go, as if, well, the show's not going to happen because obviously the dancer has a broken leg. There was a person standing there on crutches. To my absolute surprise and wonder and enthusiasm and excitement, the person that was on crutches was the lead dancer of the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show. And if you know anything about dancing, there's very few people that would argue that Michael Jackson was one of the best dancers to ever have lived. And he learned from and was inspired by the best dancers that have ever lived. And here was a man representing Michael Jackson and Cirque du Soleil, which is two amazing, it's a combination of two amazing things. And he was on crutches. This man ended up, well, he is the lead dancer for the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show, and he dances on crutches. He doesn't have a broken leg. He has one leg. Can you imagine, and I'll use his quote. He said, "I have a very unusual occupation for a man with one leg." This beautiful man has become one of the best dancers in the world with every can't against him. You can't be a dancer. You've only got one leg. And I'm using that, and there's, as I shared, there's thousands of stories like that where people have been told they can't do it, and against all odds, they've gone and done it anyway. So I'm asking you, if you have the music in you, if you have the art in you, if you have the sport in you, if you have the passion for life in you, and you have something that you want to add to the world, and I use that quote again, there's epic moments in your life when you were born and when you know why you were put on the planet. Why am I here? And I knew from 13 that I was put on the planet because I wanted to be an exercise professional. You'll have that in you somewhere. You might have covered it up. You might have dug it into the ground. People might have kicked it out of you or tried to. People might have told you that you can't. I'm asking you to find it. Whatever's inside you, your music, your passion, your drive, the thing that lights you up, go do that. Because is it possible that life is far too bloody long to be stuck in a job that you don't like? And I always use this example. Some working lives, and in fact most working lives, are 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 48 weeks of the year, and probably 40, 50 years of your life. I think that's a really long time to be doing something that you don't love to do. The reverse of that is, if you love what you do, is it possible you could keep doing it? And because you love what you do, you keep doing it so you stay young. There are some rock stars now who are 60, 70, 80 years of age and they're still selling out stadiums. They're staying young because they're doing what they love. So I'm challenging you. Life could be too short to be stuck in a lousy, stinking, rotten job. Imagine dying early and all you ever did was have a lousy, stinking, rotten job. But imagine living 70, 80, 90, 100 years of your life and having a lousy, stinking, rotten job. Yuck. If you have the music in you, you can, you should, and you must sing.